Welcome to Church Online. Special welcome if you're with us for the first time. It's a joy to gather together. We gather with Christians around the world across time and place to hear the scriptures, to sing songs of worship, to be encouraged in our faith and to pray together. My name is Lynn. I'm the minister at Adelaide West, bringing you this service together with Craig, our associate pastor, who'll be bringing the message today. We light a candle. As we do that, we remember that Jesus brings light into the world. And he brings joy to our lives and he brings hope in the silence. Thanksgiving is simply giving thanks to God. We sing praise and thanksgiving.
Today's reading comes from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 to 14. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood in the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In 2018, Naomi and I went to see The Impressionists at the South Australian Art Gallery. For those unfamiliar with The Impressionists, they are essentially a group of mostly French artists who, because of new technology which made paint incredibly cheap, and because of the French Revolution, they were able to produce an entirely new type of art that turned its gaze from the transcendent, that is God's angels in the heavens, to the material, things like boats and landscapes, with an incredible use of colour and light. They are the artists that you probably have heard of, like Monet and Manet and Cézanne and Van Gogh. So this is an incredible opportunity. You just don't get to see paintings like this very often in the Southern Hemisphere. Paintings like The Magpie by Claude Monet. People are incredibly excited about this. In the first months, you couldn't even get in. You had to pre-book tickets. When we finally went, it was in the last week, and it was still packed out like a new Marvel film. Despite the crowds, we're wandering around, following the story of the development of Impressionist art. And I've stopped in front of this painting by Bertha Morisot on a bench. It portrays two women sitting on a bench on the side of a road. Where have they come from? What are they looking at? Where are they headed on this lovely warm summer's day? It's all a mystery that has me hooked. I can feel the warmth of the sun, smell the grass, the dirt, the small river I imagine they're looking at. Boom! This phone suddenly appears right in front of my face, snaps a picture of the painting, then disappears. The spell was broken. The moment with the painting was over. I looked around, and all I could see was this huge crowd, phones in hand, looking at some of the most incredible paintings ever made, through the cold blue glow of their phone screens. I must confess that a lot of my joy in the art was disrupted by people, anxious not to miss out on anything, madly snapping pictures of the art. I've been to these sorts of things before. In the gift shop, they have a book of photos of all the art in the show, and much better quality images than you can get on the phone. But the point is, people were missing out on having a moment like I did with this painting because they were anxious and distracted. This is the world that we live in today. We are in a state of legitimate distraction and worry. And so we find it really hard, and in fact even counterintuitive, to stop, like I did with this painting, and have a moment with God in prayer. Because God is not always found in the noise and the movement of our busy lives. And God does not always show up in the acts of power. But more often, God comes to us in the stillness and the silence. Sometimes we need to work through the noise and the distractions of our lives in order to hear from God. This is what happens to Elijah in the story we have today. When we encounter Elijah in this passage, he is on the run from Ahab, who wants to kill him for what happened on Mount Carmel, where Elijah shamed the prophets of Baal, and thus Baal himself, when he challenges them to have Baal himself light up their offering on fire upon an altar. When they cannot do this, God lights Elijah's sacrifice on fire. This is after having water poured over it, proving who the true God is as well as who is his true servants. So Elijah is on the run for his life and finds refuge in the cave in which we find him in our story today. God asks Elijah, "What are you doing here?" Elijah, like us when we're tired, busy, and stressed, offers God a list of his woes, an inventory of his issues. Distracted by his circumstances, he is unable to hear God properly. To be fair to Elijah, his concerns are legitimate concerns. We are rarely distracted from connection with God by illegitimate concerns. God offers Elijah another chance to be close to him, telling Elijah to come out of the cave when he passes by. Three different circumstances pass the cave by that we would normally associate with the power of God. The first is a powerful wind, but God is not speaking to Elijah in the wind. Second, an earthquake, but God is not speaking to Elijah in the earthquake. Finally, there is a wildfire, but God is not speaking to Elijah in the wildfire. It is only in the silence that follows that God speaks to Elijah, and Elijah knows to listen for God in the silence, because that is when he comes out of the cave. It is not in the busyness of Elijah's prayer list of woes that he is able to hear from God, nor is it in the distractions of the wind, earthquake, and fires that come to Elijah that he is able to hear from God. It is in the silence that God is able to be heard. And it is in the ancient Christian spiritual tradition of silence and solitude that we too can hear from God in our busy and distracted lives. A practice made up of four parts: solitude, silence, prayer word, and posture. One of the things that we see happen in this passage is Elijah hears from God in solitude. Whilst Elijah had little choice because he was running for his life and hiding out in a cave, perhaps we might sympathize at the times that we desire to lock ourselves away from the pressures of the world and the scrutiny of others. In fact, when we look at Scripture, even briefly, we see that the spiritual practice of solitude as a way of overcoming the things that distract us from God is actually the predominant practice. The practice of spending time with God alone, particularly important for our sense of Christian identity. Who are we when our thoughts and actions are not being reflected and filtered through the perception of others, or the constant doom scrolling through social media? A reoccurring theme, and one of the practices that Jesus himself engages with regularly. I'm not suggesting that you have to try to find a time for a week-long retreat in order to follow Jesus, but even 10 to 20 minutes a few times a week, where you are alone and not using a screen, can help dramatically improve your closeness with God. You could be going for a walk by yourself, ironing some clothes, practicing prayer and meditation. It does not matter, as long as it is time dedicated to being alone with God. Something that we have noted from this passage is that Elijah hears God, not in the roar of powerful forces, but in the silence that follows them. Since the early days of the church, people have recognized the importance of seeking silence when they hope to hear from God. The practice of time spent in silence with God is actually deceptively named, because the reality is that we are rarely ever entirely silent. It may be that thoughts race through our minds, interrupting our attempts. It could be that the environment that we are in is disrupted by background noises like traffic or lawnmowers. In Elijah's case, even as he waits to hear from God, there is tremendous noise. While we may not have to deal with the noise of strong winds, earthquakes, and wildfires, sometimes the noise in our own heads is just as loud and distracting in practice. The practice of silence helps us to sift through the words that we are bombarded with constantly and hear what God is saying to us. The practice of silence helps us to leave the competing demands alone for some time with Jesus. To do silence, it is suggested that you find a private place, even if it's on the toilet, and set a timer, probably only 5 to 10 minutes max, as it can be quite hard to go longer than this. During this time, listen to your breathing. I find it helpful to count my breath in cycles of 1 to 4, and probably no higher than 7 or 8, because you begin to focus more on the counting. If a thought arises, just observe it for a second, and then return to counting your breaths. Some people find having a prayer word more helpful than counting breaths. This is a word or phrase that you gently repeat in time with your breathing as you are practicing silence. The use of this word is more than mere techniques. The word or phrases that you employ becomes an anchor in the mental storms of thoughts and distractions. In fact, the use of the prayer word extends beyond the time that we spend practicing it in silence. As the prayer word begins to pop up in our mind during the daily life, reminding us of God's presence all around us everywhere we go. Use of the prayer word follows the same practice as breath counting. Note the distracting thoughts, allow them to be, then return to the prayer word or counting. As you may have already discerned, the prayer word can be literally anything and does not even have to be the same each time you practice silent prayer. The Psalms, for example, are a great source of prayers. And a few short words chosen from a psalm can be a good choice. A popular choice for the prayer word comes from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, which says that no one can say Lord Jesus except by the Holy Spirit. So the words Lord Jesus are a simple prayer in the Holy Spirit. The choice of word need not be complex or involved. It can be as simple as choosing a word you feel drawn to or that feels right. Something that is often overlooked when we are distracted from our relationship with God and struggling to hear from him or close is the posture of our bodies, particularly when we're trying to pray. I'm sure I'm not the only person that has the bad habit of firing off an end of the day prayer when I'm lying down in bed. More often than not, the result is that I rarely finish such a prayer because I fall asleep. Ancient Christians had an acute awareness of the importance of the physicality of spending time with God. They recognized that to be still and focus on God meant first of all to still the body. emphasizing the need to be stable in order to still many be still many early Christian writers suggest sitting on the floor. Some of us, that is easier said than done, of course, and the truth is that we can pray in any position. It is just that some positions help us to focus better than others. The main thing to remember about positioning your body for prayer is to balance the tension with softness. It is recommended that one pray with a straight spine, but held straight with a little bit of softening of the posture, basically straight but not rigid. Hands can be placed palm down or palm up on the knees or folded in the lap. The tilt of the head towards your stomach will influence your attentiveness. Raise your head high and you are more easily distracted. Tilt your head too low and you might fall asleep. Experiment with head tilt until you find a position that is comfortable for you. In order to reach our world with acceptance, hope, and transformation in Jesus, we need to be transformed ourselves so that we have something different from what the world offers to share with people. Two of the things that people in our time are most looking for are community and authentic spirituality. It is no good hoping for our church here to grow numerically if we're not growing spiritually and have something of genuine substance to offer people. I direct this challenge as much towards myself as anyone else. And one of the things that we do that the world does not do is pray. So if you are struggling with silence from God, or you feel distant from God, perhaps it is time to go into a cave like Elijah, recognizing the legitimate cares and concerns that have driven you there, but trusting that in the silence, God will speak.
For you, deep stillness of the silent inland. For you, deep blue of the desert skies. For you, flame red of the rocks and stones. For you, sweet water from hidden springs. From the edges, seek the heartlands. And when you're burnt by the journey, may the cool winds of the hovering spirit could soothe and replenish you in the name of Christ, in the name of Christ. For you, deep stillness of the silent inland. For you, of the desert skies. For you, flame red of the roots and stones. For you, sweet water from hidden springs. From the edges, seek the heartlands. And when you're burnt by the journey, may the cool winds of the hovering spirit soothe and replenish you in the name of Christ. In the name of Christ. In the name of Christ. In the name of Christ.
We now come to a time of prayer for others. Let's pray. Mighty God and ruler of all creation, give new strength to our faith, that we might recognize your presence even when all hope seems lost. Help us to face all trials with serenity. We pray for those who are going through trying times with their health. We ask for good medical care, for wisdom for those who seek to help, the doctors, nurses, and allied health professionals. But we also ask for more than that by your miraculous power you would heal the sick and bring glory to your name. We pray for the people of Niger as they deal with the aftermath of the coup. We pray that your wisdom and peace would prevail and that the people would get the best government for them, one that is free from corruption and dictatorship. Keep them safe in this time and let peace come back to their land. We pray for Greece and for Canada and for Hawaii at this time, as those places recover from devastating fires that have done so much damage. Lord, heal those lands and their peoples and restore what they have lost. We ask that you would help world leaders to have a real appreciation of the cause for the record temperatures that have been experienced in the Northern Hemisphere, and that real and meaningful change will come about that will make a difference. As we walk like Elijah through the tough times in our lives, we pray that you would help us to listen for you in the fires, the earthquakes, and the disasters of our busy times and sometimes difficult lives, but also help us to find a few moments to seek you in solitude and silence. Lord, we give you our gifts and offerings out of gratitude for all that you've provided to us. Take this small portion and use it to further your work in the world. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. Mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well, it is well. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. The waves and wind still know his name. It is well with my soul. Well, with my soul.
Thank you for joining us today. If you would like prayer or pastoral care, please reach out to us by text or email. This week, if you feel God is silent, your life may be too busy. Perhaps it's time to reduce the noise. Be still, sit, and listen to our great God. And now, may the grace and the kindness of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love and the presence of God, the friendship and the unity of the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always as you serve God. Amen. Blessings on your way.
Swiss wristwatch. Irish wristwatch. Swiss wash. Irish Swiss wash.